And you know how we do when we come to hear the word, 110% attention, be switched on, and I trust that the Lord will help you and I today in Jesus' name. Very quickly, I want to carry out a very quick experiment, and the experiment is with this glass, with water. I've got water inside, okay? And I want you to answer a question, and the question is, what do you see? Is the glass full? Is the glass empty? Is the glass half full or half empty? Is there something in the glass? Or perhaps there's nothing that you see. So I want you to look at this, and I want you to write down your answer, please. So now we are going to be studying. I'm not going to be preaching, but just teaching. So I want you to write down. I hope you have your notes. Write it down, even if it's on your phone, because what God has asked me to share with you will be memorable. It will be lasting. It will have a lasting impact in your life. So if you're making notes, make notes. One of the things that God said to us during the retreat last year, as we were sowing into this year, was to, God commanded Moses to make sure that the testimony that I encounter was written down, was documented. You wonder why God would tell people to write things down. If you come into a lecture, you come into a class, or you come before God for an encounter and you don't write down things, it really shows the state of your heart. It really shows, you know, what you value. You know, if God can ask Moses to come up the mountain and write down things, and if God could, you know, the scriptures that we have today was, you know, 40 or 66 books, if I'm correct. So there's a need for you to write down things. So I start with asking you to write down what you see, you know, with this glass, because what you see matters. What you see matters. What you see determines what happens to you. So like I said, we're going to be studying tonight, okay? And I want us to quickly start from the book of Matthew 13. I don't just want you to hear things being said without understanding. I pray that God will give you understanding. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14. Yes. And to them the prophecy of Elijah, of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Keep going. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You see, healing goes with seeing what you see. Jesus, talking to the people, said they their hearts have become dull. They've come for Bible study so many times. They've been born in church. They've been coming to church for a long time. And what happens unconsciously is that you become dull of hearing. You become dull in the things you see. Why? Because you become familiar with the thing. It's become moribund, it's become normal. If you keep seeing somebody, you know, they talk about familiarity breeding contempt. The more you stay with somebody, the more you talk to somebody and just leave with somebody, or you know, they become common. And this is what God is saying, that the healing that he wants to bring to you and I today stems or goes back to what you see and how you see. So if you're here tonight and you're expecting healing, I encourage you to pray that God will cause you to see, okay? It's very important. And I take you to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It says, blessed, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, you then begin to wonder, I want you to see, God wants you to see, but you're not seeing. It's easy for me to analyze and say, the problem is with your eyes. You need to probably get your eyes checked. And God then takes us a step further and says that the problem is not just that you are not seeing or that you are seeing. The problem is actually with your heart. If you're looking at something or you've been in the presence of God and you are here tonight and you've been seeing and yet not seeing, the problem is not just with your eyes. Because for somebody to see, that means that they have their eyes. Am I correct? But for you to have eyes and not see, that means the problem goes deeper than you having eyes. And God started analyzing it and said, the problem is with the state of your heart. Why is this important? This is important because I'm taking us to what God spoke to us at the beginning, during the retreat. And he says, the Lord Jehovah is my banner. Jehovah is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. Okay? And you might ask, how does that relate? You see, we were taught about what the banner signifies. Every army regiment or every country or every business, every community, even not all communities, but most government organizations have a banner, some sort of banner. And that banner means a lot. It could be a rallying point. That banner could be what spurs people on to keep going. That banner could represent you've reached your destination. That banner is a place of comfort. That banner represents hope. And imagine fighting in a battle and you can't see your banner. It's like traveling without knowing your destination. So the banner, when lifted or when waved, gives people hope. That banner also could mean healing. Imagine somebody who can't see the banner then. Because the banner also tells you about direction. It tells you about strategy for warfare. So if the commander, for example, wants... in warfare, there are different platoons and different regiments. There are different divisions. So you can have the cavalry, you can have the armory, you can have the air force, you could have the infantry, that's the foot soldiers. You can have the archers. You can have different people, and the commander in a battle uses the flag, because each regiment or each platoon have their own flag, their own banner. And when they wave your banner, it will tell you either strategy or give you direction. So if I want the archers to attack, the archers are those that draw the bow and arrow. If I want them to attack, I can signal my next in command and he will wave. Once he waves that flag, it tells the archers, shoot. I could wave another flag and tell the archers to stop shooting, and I tell the infantrymen to move forward. So the banner, you have to understand in warfare the significance of the banner. It gives direction, it gives strategy. But imagine you are in that battle and you can't even see the banner. So it means that your victory is tied to that banner. It means that your healing is tied to the banner. It means that your next promotion is tied to that banner. It means that your next investment decision could be tied to that banner. So imagine you can't see that banner. You will not be healed. In seeing, they don't see that I will heal them. Let's, like I said, we're doing a study. Let's look at the impact of not seeing the banner. I want us to turn to the book of Numbers 13. The question for you tonight is, can you see the banner? Numbers 13. This was the story. Because of our time, you could go and do a further study. Let's start reading from 25. And these were all the 12 spies. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Continue. "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south." Mark the word Amalekites, okay? "The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Twelve people went and looked at something. Okay? 10 came back and said, "The people are bigger than us. They're stronger than us. These are the people we saw there. The job, I can't do that job. That contract is more than me. You know, that place, I can't afford it. I can't get to that place." Then only 2 people came back and said, "No, let's go up at once." The question is, how come 12 people saw different things? It's possible that you and I can be looking at the same picture and we should see two different things. But what you see determines your healing and your blessing and your prosperity. So, what shapes what you see? What made the 10 see something different and the 2 see something different? Some people see a terrible economy. Some people see terrible bosses and terrible situations. Some people see unemployment. Some people see hardship and hard times. Some people see sicknesses and diseases. Some people see hopelessness. Some people see, I can't afford it, I can't do it. They're bigger than me, they're better than me. The people that applied are better than me. The people that are more qualified, they won't look at people like us. So what is the difference? What makes one group say something different and another group say something different? The scripture says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. That means if you are not pure in heart, you will see calamity and see the devil. So the heart matters. The heart affects what you see. But let's look closely at why these people saw differently and the other group saw differently. Well, like I said, we're doing a Bible study. Why is it that you keep seeing problems? Why is it that you keep seeing obstacles? Why is it that you keep seeing troubles? Your heart. So let's dig a little deeper, okay? So Jesus said, remember what Jesus said where we started? In seeing, they don't see. So that means he wants them to see something, but they're not seeing it. Okay? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let's see the secret why the 10 saw problem and the 2 saw opportunities. Just 20, verse 1, Deuteronomy 21. Like I said, make sure you're writing down. Do a further study. God, speaking to the children of Israel, said, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. When you go into battle, when you go into any business, go into any interview, go into any place, and you see people more than you, you see people more qualified than you, you see people richer than you, he says, don't be afraid. Don't complain. Don't say they are racist. Don't say they don't like us. Don't say because I'm a woman or because I'm a man. Don't make all those excuses. Don't make all those complaints. It says, just don't be afraid. For what? I am with you. The people went to spy the land. They saw the things God had already pre-warned them they will see. When you come into 2019, when you come into August, you're going to see your bank account looking red. You say, don't be afraid. You're going to see your bills bigger than your income. He says, don't be afraid. You're going to look around and it will look like you're alone. He says, don't be afraid. When the doctor gives you a report, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see something bigger and greater than you, don't panic. Why? This is the part where he says, in seeing, they do not see. What is the secret? He says, for the Lord your God is with you. For your God is with you. Do you understand what that means? I don't think you do. Because if you do, you will not say, I cannot. We are not able. So the heart, the pure in heart see God. The people, we can't see God come through for us, manifest in our situation. We can't see God give us the land because our heart is wicked, desperately wicked. Our heart tells God, I don't trust you. You are not able. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Your heart determines how you see God and how you see things. Let's go to our text, Exodus chapter 17. You see this story run through our lives, our journey. Bible says in verse 17, let's start reading from verse 17. Because the scripture talks about Moses, God told Moses, he said, lift up, make a bronze serpent and lift it up. Anybody that gets bitten by the snake or by the serpent, if you look up and if you can see that serpent, that bronze serpent, you'll be healed. That's the instruction of God. I don't know how that works. Because what happens is that we want to figure it out ourselves. We want God to tell us the composition of that bronze serpent. We want him to tell us the history and the anatomy before we can look up. We want him to come and explain to us before we can look up. No wonder scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say, see, I've given you the land. You can take it. And when you go into that job and you see people, don't be afraid. I am with you. Leverage. Somebody say leverage. Your biggest leverage is the presence of God. It's God himself. Your biggest leverage in life is God himself. My banner. Do you know him as your banner? Do you and I know him as your banner? Do you have a personal relationship with him to know? The 10 spies, you could tell they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They come to church. They are Christians, born again, but no relationship with Jesus. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Moved by situations, economic situations. Their bank account determines whether they pray or not. Exodus chapter 17. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin. According to the commandment of the Lord, we started this year, journeying from January to February, March, April, May. According to the word of God, this is a year of thanksgiving, fruitfulness, multiplication. We sing it as a song. We dance to it. We do everything. And we are journeying through life. And scripture says, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. We wonder sometimes, God, you called us, you said this about us. How come there's no water to drink? You've made so many promises to me. How come this and that is not happening? Verse 2. You see, in life, before I go to verse 2, challenges are constant. And it's time for us Christians to grow up. It's time for you and I to grow up. It's time. Tell your neighbor, it's time for me, you and I to grow up. Tell your neighbor. For the people contended with Moses. Every time we are quarreling with pastor. Every time it's only you that counseling is made for. Oh, pastor, this hasn't happened. Pastor, this hasn't happened. Pastor, that's happened. That was what happened. They always went to Moses, disturbing the man. As if he was the one that told you to go on the journey. It was God. What do you see? People see. People see men of God, but they don't see the God that the men worship. And all along, the aim, pastor's aim, if you don't know, let me tell you, it's a secret, it's not here. Okay, let me tell you. Don't tell him. His only aim is to point you to Jesus. Not to himself, to Jesus. If you don't know it now. Don't tell him. Don't say I said it to you. His only aim, if you know him, is to point you to the Savior, Jesus. So that you go to him. The people went to who? Moses. And when they went to Moses, they complained. You see, pastor down, he's complaining. And they said, give us water. Why would you ask your fellow man to give you water? You could see the heart of the people is desperately wicked. They did not consider that they themselves and Moses are in the same wilderness. It wasn't as if Moses had privileged water or borehole in his backyard that he was carrying. They were in the same boat. We ask men of God for something that only God can give. We ask things that show our heart, that reveal the state of your heart. They asked him for water. Give us water to drink. So, and they started quarreling with Moses. How many people have stopped serving God because maybe pastor didn't call them? Stop coming to church because lady pastor didn't check up on them or send them emails. It's time for us to grow up, people. And he said what? Why do you contend with me? Why are you tempting God? Why? Because the scripture says Moses knew what? The what of God. Moses knew what? He knew God's ways. The children of Israel only knew the acts. Is it possible that you know only the acts of God? Give me this, give me that, give me that, give me that. If God doesn't give you, you throw tantrums, you go and strike. But you don't know his ways. What is the way of God? Let's find out. Verse 3. And the people tested there for what? And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock? We test. Verse 4. They knew only about complaining. They knew about asking men for things. But Moses knew how to cry to God. He knew the ways of God. He knew that if you need anything, go to God first. Go to God first. God can direct you to back to his son, the pastor, or his wife, or a brother, a sister. But you don't break protocol. You go to God first. Some of you complain to your wife, to your husband. Go to God first. Complain to your boss, friends. Go to God first. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 15, verse chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, we'll come back to this. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Cursed. There are some family curses you are trying to break. No, just we should look at ourselves. We trust in people too much. Oh, when you finish, your uncle has promised you that job. That person has promised you to give you that contract. You trust in the government. You know what? I'll go and get my benefit. He says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. What did I say it was before? The heart. The pure in heart are those that see God. God will not share his glory with nobody, not me. God will not share his glory with no human being born of a woman. He will not. The people trusted in men. Moses knew the ways of God. What is God's way? Go to him first. Go to him. Sit at his feet. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Go to God. Be a son. Be a daughter. Sit with him. Sit with his word. How many of us are here ashamed of our mothers? If you're ashamed of your mother, can I see your hand? Okay. If your mother has a broken leg, would you be ashamed of her? Some of us are ashamed of God. We are ashamed to be associated with God. We feel he's too slow. Sometimes you feel your parents are slow. You feel your parents are not beautiful enough. That's why sometimes you don't post their pictures on social media. That's why some of you, when you're walking with your parents, you are like 10 meters away and you leave them behind. Because you feel they're not beautiful anymore. You feel they're slow, they're dragging you behind. That's the way we behave with God. We only come when we need something. And we pester him and pester him and pester him because we want water to drink. But we've not sat down to ask him his ways. If you want to break this curse, don't trust in men. Don't trust your eyes, your physical eyes. The scripture talks about Jesus. He said he will not judge, he will not make decisions by what he sees. He will not judge by what he hears. When it comes to marriage, a lot of us make decisions, what I see. Does he have, is there a prospect? Does he have a mansion? Who are his parents? Does she have a nice figure? Cursed is the man. We're already doomed if we keep trusting in people, in systems of men, in the ways of men, putting our strength in the flesh and not trusting God. It says, once we do that, your heart has already departed from God. And you and I expect to see God? No. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's only the pure in heart that will see God. Is there any area of your life where you are not seeing God right now? Is it possible that you and I need to check our heart? Praise God. Praise God. I'll run quickly because of my time. And the people murmured and they were asking for water. See what happens. When we do that, let's look at verse 7 of that Exodus. I just want us to show something. I'll jump. Verse 6. Time will fail me. Verse 6. It says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. This was God talking. And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. A lot of the people drank the water without knowing the process of how the water came about. They sought the water, they drank it, but did not understand the how of God. Sometimes God gives you certain things because you've been pestering him. But the thing that happens is that you are not growing up. You are like a child that comes in and throws tantrums and goes to the fridge and you just see food. You think you are being helped, but you are not. Because you carry out your bad habit till you grow up. You grow with that bad habit. But God started teaching us. He says, in seeing, you don't see, but let me show you something. He says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. This rock talks about Jesus. So Jesus was even made manifest. If you remember Acts of the Apostles, when the people were walking down, going down to Emmaus, and they were talking, and the Bible said, and Jesus came alongside them and started asking them and acted as if he didn't know what was happening. They said, are you a stranger in Israel that you didn't know don't know what's going on? You are not following the news. It's on Twitter, it's on Instagram. They killed Jesus. Jesus said, are you people dull of hearing? Are you foolish? Bible said, starting from Genesis, he started telling them about himself in every page of scripture. I believe when he got to Exodus, he said, I was that rock that God spoke to Moses about. That when the people needed water, rather than complaining and murmuring, God, the rock had always been there. You remember where we read? Bible said they came to Rephidim and there was no water for them. Do you think that the God we serve is a wicked God, that he will bring you out of Egypt and not make provision for the water? Bible says that he tested them, led them through ways that they never knew to test and see what was in their heart. We're back to that heart, the desperately wicked heart. The rock was there. The water was in the rock. But because the people were short-sighted, they were used to natural water. They were used to water flowing from stream. But God wanted to teach them a new experience, bring them to a new dimension of himself that says, it doesn't matter where you are. You might be a stranger. You don't need to have money for me to give you properties. You don't need to have a CV for me to give you a job. You don't need to qualify. All you need to do is trust me. I make way where there is no way. I part the seas. I am God. I am God all by myself. He hid the water in the rock. The people were busy complaining. No job, the economy, the policy, this one. The rock was there. God was waiting for a man that would go on his knees. A woman that will say, Lord, I'm stuck. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I've looked around. My eyes are failing me. Lord, the businesses are failing me. But Lord, I know that you are here before I got here. Lord, what do I need to do? What is the strategy? What is the strategy? Which way should I go? Where do I put my feet? The rock was there. And Moses knew the way. He knew the power of prayer. He knew where to go to connect and tap to the power of God. Because what happens that you and I fail to understand is that with every encounter, with every drawing closer to God, we become strong. You become stronger. You become stronger. But every time you complain and you don't know the ways and you're only expecting the works, you grow more as a child. The rock, where did the rock come from? The rock had always been there. Your blessing has always been there. The billions and the millions, the encounter, the husband has always been there. The wife has always been there. The connection has always been there. But because you see, not as you see as men, you don't see as God. The secret to your wealth has always been with you and I. The problem is the way you see. The problem is not just in the way you see. If you take it further, it's the heart. A heart that doesn't know God. And Bible says, and one of the things that happens is that when you and I throw that kind of tantrums and God gives us what we want, he sends leanness to our hearts. He sends leanness to your heart. You feel you are rich, but you are lost and wretched. And water came out when he followed instruction. But what happened to the people? When we complain and murmur and see as a man, one thing happens. I want you to bring the next chapter, the next verse. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah. Testing, quarreling. They tempted God. They didn't believe him. They were saying, is God amongst us? Is God with us? Is God in Love Assembly? Is God here? Verse 8. Let's run quickly. Now, if you read in King James, it says, then. Bring the King James. It says, then. I'm not an English major, but when you see then, what does it mean? Uncle Ewa, do you want to help me? Following what just happened. Amalek came. There are some things, that battles that you and I face that are born out of complaining. What complaining does is it opens a doorway for the devil to come. What was the instruction he gave us at the beginning of the year? Thanksgiving. In all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You don't need to understand it, just give thanks. Just thank him. Oh, Father, we've come to refill them. There's no water. I can't see any water. But Lord, I thank you. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, this is not what you promised, but I thank you. I bless your name. I don't understand fully, but I give you praise. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Lord, I'm testy, Lord, but Lord, I can, my voice can, so let me conserve my energy a bit. Lord, thank you. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, where's the water? Where's the water? Lord, we need water. Our children are here. Lord, just give us water. Lord, open our eyes. Now, what is this kind of place? This house, there's no bathroom, only one bathroom. There are no two bathrooms. Oh, what kind of nonsense is this? Man, where I was staying is better than this place. We complain. We just complain, and when we complain, the Lord said, thank you, I've heard you. I'll send Amalekite. The Amalekite is your way now. And they came and fought with them. Rephidim means a place of rest. It should have been a place of rest. But they came. But God is always merciful. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is always merciful. And God did what? God gave them a strategy. Give them a strategy. One, Moses going up the mountain, taking with him Aaron and Hur. They went up the mountain. Have you ever seen that in the scripture before? Bible says Jesus will get up early and go to the mountain to pray. Prayer, if you've never taken it seriously this year, God is saying take it seriously. Not prayer because you want to get something, but communication. You see, let me tell you a secret about me, right? If every time you call me just to ask me for something, right? After a while, I'll get weary of you. I don't know about God, but I know. Every time it's about complaining, it's about what you've never come to say, bro, how far? Let me buy you lunch. Let me just, how are things? Let me just bless you. Let me just give you my smile. How are things? Jesus will go up the mountain. So he gave them a strategy. So if you're writing down, just very quickly, I just want to, I'll run here, okay? So prayer is one strategy for the warfare in August and in the coming months. Prayer, take it very seriously, okay? Two, these things were said, I'm just repeating some of the things that God said to us at the retreat, just reminding you. Two is relational, you must improve your relational skills. Okay? I'll talk to us. The thing is that everything is in the scriptures. Okay? You need to improve your relational skills. Okay? What did I say? Improve. If I ask you who is your best friend, some of you are smiling because you know you don't, you are an island on your own. You are struggling now, your mind is running, and you are thinking, okay, Pastor is not your best friend. Leave Pastor alone. Okay? Who is your best? Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Answer that question. These are rhetorical questions. I want you to answer them. Call five people that are your friends. What fields are they in? What are their specialties? Jesus had 12. The 12, apart from being disciples and apostles, had some skills. Jesus had an accountant, had a tax collector, had fishermen, so tradespeople, He had so many people. Why? Because, you see, does he ever, I don't know how you read your scriptures, right? Have you ever wondered why Jesus would say to his disciples, apostles, go to that city. You see a house. Just tell the man that I need his house. Imagine somebody just calling, saying, yo, just go to the Brother Philip's house. Tell him I'm coming to use his house. That cannot happen without relationship. Bible says, and Jesus, how God blessed and anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, he went about doing good. Do you do good to people? When Jesus needed a house to stay, it was easy for him. He didn't have to hire the place. You see the wisdom of God. I don't know how you read your Bible. He didn't have to pay for the place because he had favor. Bible says, when we were while Pastor was ministering on Sunday, he said, and Jesus grew what? In stature. And in what? Talk to me. He grew in what? In wisdom. And grew in what again? And had favor with God and man. Favor comes from good deeds, doing good. He could say, go on, that donkey tied, release it. I want to use it. But you cannot say that. Why? Because you keep depending on where God expects you to do good, to be a blessing to people. You want to use prayer as an excuse to cross over it and say, oh, halabaka yakada. No, God expects you to do good to people. He's a good God. Do good to people. Don't expect anything in return. Do good. Once in a while, I see somebody, yes, £5, man. I just want to bless you. I just got these fruits. You know, I just want to feel like blessing you. Do good. It wouldn't give you constipation. Okay? Do good. So Moses went up the mountain with two people. He had a relationship with them. Because he didn't know that at some point his hand will be tired. You don't know when you'll be tired. Do good. Tell somebody, do good. And start with me. Okay, no, change it. Let me do, what good can I do for you? Okay? So that strategy, that time will fail me to go into that. But the key, the thread that runs, I'm jumping. The thread that runs in all this, Moses being on the mountain, holding the staff of God, praying, Aaron and Hur holding his hands, using their common sense. Sometimes we don't use our common sense. We don't use our common sense. You know that your child will be going back to school in September. And you are blowing all the money now. You are not saving for when they will go back to school. Let's use our common sense. In September, we'll start fasting and praying. No, let's use our common sense. Okay? Can you tell your neighbor, don't look at them, use your common sense. Okay. So, communication. Joshua, I want to focus very briefly on Joshua. My time is up, but very, very briefly on Joshua. Okay? When he went to the battle. Okay, let's stop here. We'll finish this up. There are some amazing things God showed me. But his banner over us is love. Amen. Amen. His banner over us is love. Is that banner flying in your life? Is that banner flying in your heart? If you want to see God, you must deal with your heart. And the heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. And don't judge yourself. You know, if I give you, if I ask you to score yourself, okay? Let's do a test. I want you to rate yourself from 1 to 10. Just rate yourself. 1 to 10. Just give me a random person. Let me pick on somebody I can beat. Julie, what's your rating? 1 to 10. 7. Prof Jojo, rate yourself 1 to 10. Don't be humble now. Rate yourself 1 to 10. In what aspect? Ah, oh, wow. Your spiritual sister. Okay, we rate ourselves well. Okay? But can we just pray? I don't know what you've heard tonight. But you want to see God, don't you? You're struggling in your life. You're struggling in your faith. You're struggling in your walk. You're struggling with your confidence. You're struggling with you as a person. You're struggling to rest. You are worried. You are anxious. You are perturbed. You are scared. You're always panicking. You're always worried. You want to see God? If you want to see God, we must come with a pure heart. No. We must come with our hearts and ask Him to change, take away the heart of stone and put in us a heart of flesh. This complaining has to go. The murmuring has to go. Your perspective, the perspective of the world that shapes your marriage, that shapes your outlook, that shapes your work ethics, it has to go. It is not healthy. The perspective you have about getting old, some of us think old age is a disease. It's not. There's so much left in the tank, in your tank to give. The way you see yourself is not healthy. You are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You are not growing up. Yes, God is giving you the things you're asking for, but He knows that He's putting leanness in your heart. I'm telling you, if we don't repent, we will not make it into the promised land. We must have a different outlook. And that outlook must be shaped by the Word of God. We must grow. We must grow in grace. We must grow in the Word of God. As the Word is growing and prayer is growing, we will grow. But if we don't, there's a problem. What do you see? Is the glass full or is the glass half empty? Your perspective, your perception is shaped by your heart. And your heart is shaped by the information. Joshua and Caleb had the Word of God. They didn't look at the environment. There they saw. They said, the fact is that the Amalekites live in the land. Giants live in the land. But the truth is, God has said, my leverage has said, God is my leverage. God is my leverage. I'm not afraid of what man would do to me. I don't care what the policy says. The Word of God says, do good. Do you want to inherit the land? One day God showed me. I was praying about immigration. He said, do you know the secret? He says, do good and trust in the Lord. And I will give you the land. It's in the scriptures. Do good. Do good. And I started volunteering. I started working. I started cleaning people's houses. I never knew that one day that would speak. And in the court of law, some of us are here on that day. That those things spoke. And I trusted God. I trusted God. Are you doing good? It's only you. You always want people to bless you, bless you, bless you. You don't do good. Your heart, my heart, your heart and my heart. Father, we just thank you. I just want us to spend some time praying in tongues. Praying in the Holy Spirit, just praying, talking to God. Let's confess our faults to Him. Let's tell Him, Let's tell him. Your prayer is always about, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. You have never said, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, what can I do for you? What would you have me do? Lord, what is it that you need doing? I said to someone, you go to your father-in-law's house and you see your father-in-law sweeping the floor. You don't ask him, my daddy, do you want me to help you sweep? No. There are some things you shouldn't ask God. There are some things you shouldn't ask God. You should just do it. Jesus went about doing good. Who can I help with the skill I have? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I just pray for? Who can I give to? Who can I encourage? Not who can I complain to. Just talk to God, please. Can you be on our feet as we pray? We just have 3 minutes. Let's just pray for 3 minutes. Masato koroba santele yagada. Rasata yagada bragado soto legede bregedosha. If you are going to see the banner of the Lord, if you are going to see Jehovah Nissi in this month, in the remainder of the year, you must go to the Lord with your eyes and say, Lord, Lord, heal my eyes. Lord, my eyes are connected to my heart. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in men. He talks about, if you read the verse next chapter, he said he will not see good. Can you bring that Jeremiah chapter 5:17? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Bring verse 6. Bring the NKJV. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Friends, do you want to see when good comes? Then you must put your trust in God. Do you want to see good? You must put your trust in God. You must put your trust in God. You must put your trust in God and not in man. You must trust God. You must hope on God. You must trust in the Lord. You must put your confidence in the Lord. You must say, if I perish, I perish. I trust the Lord. Lord, I will do good. I will trust you. Lord, I will not put my faith in men. I will not put my confidence in men. Lord, I will not complain in the wilderness. Lord, because I want to see when good comes. Bible saying, seeing they do not see, that they may be healed. Is it possible that there are some sicknesses amongst us have not been healed because we are not seeing the way God wants us to see? You see problem when God wants you to see opportunity. You see death when God wants you to see life. You see hopelessness when God wants you to see hope. You see bitterness when God wants you to see joy. Makoko soto. You see punishment when God wants you to see training. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. We thank you, O God, for you spoke to us at the beginning of the year, that this year is a year of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you. Friends, can you just thank him, please? Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. There's no water, but thank him that there's no water. Thank him that he will provide. Thank him that he said it's a very, very good year. You might not have seen it, but I'm seeing it in the realms of the spirit. It is a very, very, very good year for me and my house. And we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Father, 10,000 will fall by my right and another 1,000 by my left. Lord, only with my eyes will I see them. Lord, I will stand to give you praise. Even if you slay me, I will yet give you praise. Thank you for blessing us, O God, with people, with resources, with amazing people. Thank you for the leadership of the church. Thank you, O God, for the vision of Love Assembly. Thank you, O God, for the pastor and his wife and his family. Thank you for the leaders, O God. Thank you for every department leader. Thank you for the team that make everything work smoothly, from the technical to the sanitation. Thank you for this building. Thank you for our children. Thank you, O God. Father, we give you praise. Be thou exalted. I want you just to thank him for your wife. And I hear God say, thank him for your spouse. Thank him for your children. You don't thank God. You complain. You complain. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for your relations. You're not married. Thank him for your parents. Thank him for your friends. Just thank him for everything around you. I hear God say, thank God for your wife. Thank God for your husband. Thank God. Just thank God. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your nuns. Thank God for your uncles. Thank God. Yeah, they are not where you want them to be, but thank God. Father, we give you praise. Father, we magnify your name. Blessed be your name, mighty God. Blessed be your name. Lord, we thank you for changing our perspective. Lord, our perspective is shaped by your word. Father, we thank you. There may be giants in the land, but we'll not be afraid. We are able to take over. Father, we are able. It is well with us. Father, we create jobs. We create healing. We create favor. We create reconciliation in homes. Lord, we call, we declare. Can you just make some prophetic declarations? We decree and declare, oh God, Father, your peace, your favor upon us. We thank you. Our children will come out like arrows, straight arrows, or not bent, not crooked, oh God. Father, your word would increase in our land and in our lives. Lord, we will stand firm on your word. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.